organization of Christianity in the empire, Constantine's mother, Saint Helena, wanted to take a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. And she wanted to find something. She wanted to find the cross on which Jesus hung. So she goes to the Holy Land and finds the Christians who have been hiding out and laying low there. And she asks them, and they say, "Oh, we know exactly where the cross was, because the pagans built a big temple to their gods over it," which actually ended up being handy for the Christians because it preserved everything underneath it. So Helena went, now she's in charge. She excavated the temple and dug around underneath, and sure enough found three crosses preserved from wind and rain and weather. Of course, she didn't know which cross was the true cross. One cross was a good cross, one cross was a pretty good cross, and one cross was a really bad cross. And they found somebody who had recently died, and they placed him on each of the crosses, and on one of them, he came back to life. She said, "That's the cross." And she took the cross, as well as a bunch of other things that were preserved in the Holy Land, and brought him back to Rome. And from that time on, it became the custom on Good Friday to celebrate the veneration of the true cross. And you can imagine being in Rome, being in the city of Peter and Paul, being newly liberated to celebrate your faith publicly, and to have this moment and ceremony where the true cross, the cross that Jesus Christ actually hung on, the cross that his blood actually dripped down, walk into the building. And that devotion spread throughout the world, and we celebrate that still today, not with the true cross, but with a cross, with the cross that reminds us of the Savior and the love of the Savior. And I think there's a couple really important points that St. John makes in his gospel that we just listened to that change this event from being this horrific, gruesome, terrible torture into the most beautiful act of love the world has ever known. And the one, it's early on in the reading, and we can sometimes miss it. But they come into the garden and they say, "We're looking for Jesus." And Jesus says, "I am." Of course, the words "I am" were the words of the only God can say that. Only God can say, "I am." He's saying that he's claiming divinity. He says, "I am," and what happens after that? They all fall to the ground. All the soldiers, everybody, they just fall, they collapse to the ground. Jesus has all the power. He wasn't an innocent victim, an innocent bystander, wrong place, wrong time. It's like him just winking to us, and John noting that to us. Here comes the bad guys, watch this. And then Peter, he's like, I'm gonna fight for him. He starts swinging his sword. Jesus says, No. Did you see what I can do? Did you see what I can do? I don't need you. I don't need you to do that. You're not helping right now. Because what I'm trying to do is lay down my life for the world. What I'm trying to do is love my people. And the rest of the story, just we see that shade. He doesn't speak when he doesn't feel like it. Pilate wants answers, he doesn't give them. Caiaphas wants answers, he doesn't give them. Herod wants answers, he doesn't give them. He's not on trial, they're on trial. Jesus is in control. Jesus has all the power. Jesus has all the love. And that changes the cross. It changes the essence of what the cross is, from this instrument of torture to this instrument of God's love. And as we have the opportunity today to venerate the cross, And we've covered all the crosses for the last 2 weeks. So in essence, we get to see the cross as if for the first time. We get to be there in the Holy Land, uncovering the true cross with St. Helena. We get to be there in Rome with the early Christians celebrating and seeing the cross for the first time and realizing that's the cross on which my Savior hung for me. He willingly went to the cross for me. He died on that cross for me. And so I invite you during the veneration of the cross, several things. One, I just invite you to listen to the music, the beautiful, beautiful music, beautiful words of the songs of the reproaches, the words of Christ. He's just on the cross trying to love us. Just meditate, just pray. It can be long. Just be with John, be with Mary at the foot of the cross. It was a long time. And we show our love by sometimes wading into the monotony, but also by wading into it, by staying there, staying in the discomfort, staying in the length of it even, we start to see things we didn't see before. And let's ask the Lord today to show us something of his love that we didn't know before, that we didn't see before. And as you come forward to venerate the cross, and you can invite you to, you'll see the servers, and we'll genuflect, and then just kiss the cross or kiss the corpus, kiss Jesus' wounds, however you want to show your love for the Lord. And just one of three things, or all three of three things, you can say to Jesus. Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that my sins put you on that cross. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for dying to take away my sins. And the third thing, Lord, help me to love you more. I'm sorry. Thank you. Help me to love you. There's a tradition of, on Good Friday, of taking up a collection that goes to the Holy Land and to continue to preserve the sites and to help the Christians who are still there, oftentimes being persecuted. So we'll take that collection up after the veneration of the cross as a way to show our love and our solidarity for those people and for this place that's a real place, a real event, really happened 2,000 years ago, and its effects still touch us today.